As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hear that podcast growling, mean and angry. Hear that vocal shouting, it's Danger and Jay. It's Danger and Jay.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Hear That Podcast Growling. Paul Danger Jr. and Jay Morrison of The Athletic are here with you for the first walkout of the season as the Bengals lose preseason game number one to the Arizona Cardinals, 36-23, here at Paycor Stadium, the artist formerly known as Paul Brown Stadium. Big crowd here on hand for a preseason game, and not everything went right for the Bengals.
No, back-to-back losses. The wheels have come off this franchise.
Back-to-back losses, that's right. We're going to dig into a number of things here. There's a lot to talk about with what happened with the offensive line. Some good, most bad. There's a lot to talk about when it comes to the safety position. Some good, some better. And there's some interesting guys that showed up. And Evan McPherson, still a robot. Some sort of like football-kicking robot that can just destroy balls into the net from 58 and 56 yards out. So we'll talk about all that. But there's a bunch of stuff to get to and fallout from Friday night here at the stadium. We're going to start with what didn't happen on the field during the game. That starts with what happened before the game. And that was Joseph Lee Burrow running on the field. No throwing yet, but running and not running slow, not jogging, like sprinting. I'm not going to say I know the miles per hour that he was hitting, but running pretty fast, doing a decent workout. And when you consider we're talking about a guy's comfort level with his abdominal area and what happened with the appendix, a very, very encouraging development that we saw before the game.
Yeah, I don't know what they call that exercise where you run and kind of twist your upper torso. It's flexibility, and he was doing that. So clearly the stomach area was not bothering him. He was breaking a sweat, running full speed. So all that a good sign. He was not alone. I mean, it was all of the starters out there with him that were not going to play in this game. It was basically a who's who of this roster. Never expected him to play. Zach confirmed he would not play, but still, that's about as encouraging as it gets, because you continue to see the progression. He tossed the ball a little bit earlier in practice this week. He showed up late at the practice, the last practice we saw, which means he was probably inside doing some rehab work. There's no timetable. They might have it in their mind. They're not gonna put anything out there, but it feels like he's getting pretty close to getting back out there and doing some stuff on the field.
We've been talking about kind of what we had heard was that look, it feels like in the next couple of weeks we're going to see him back out there in practice. And what we saw tonight suggests that is accurate. That I have a feeling that we might see him out and involved on the field in some capacity this coming week. I don't know if that will be throwing a football or if that will just be doing work on the side rehab field or what that will be. But that what we saw tonight certainly suggests that to be the case. And I do think that there's an expectation that he'll be out there participating and throwing the week of the Rams game and the Rams practices, which is still a couple weeks away. So it does appear encouraging as far as that goes. So Burrow news before the game, which is the most important. It's all that really matters. It was the Burrow news. But then there was other things that happened because during the game, right before halftime, all of a sudden, guess who showed up on Instagram posting his Nikes? I believe they were Air Force Ones. I'm not sure exactly. but it was Jesse Bates in the suite at Paycor Stadium. I did it again. I didn't mess it up. At Paycor Stadium, man who has not signed the franchise tag, lone player who was given the franchise tag to not have signed it. Bengals still wondering when he will show up. Expectation has been that he will. Well, he showed up tonight. We didn't see him in the locker room afterwards or anything like that. But I did talk to a few players who said they knew he was here. And that the fact he's up here in the suite taking in this preseason tilt suggests good news on that front, I would think. I did some real hard journalistic work at halftime. Went down to get in front of the suite to double check that it wasn't like someone else recording their own shoes, like, you know, or sending it to him. Went, looked, there he is in the suite. Sure enough, was him. And so Jesse Bates here. Look, all of this, him always texting with players, talking to players, texting Dax Hill saying, if you have questions, I'm here for you. Showing up here to watch the preseason game. Who knows what other conversations he's had with upstairs, which we were told leading up to this game by Zach Taylor when it was asked about Bates. He just quickly snapped off of that's upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Bates was actually upstairs when he said that's upstairs. Maybe he's upstairs now. Don't know that for sure. He had posted a photo from Fort Myers, Florida, earlier in the day on his Instagram. So perhaps he took a flight, which good for him for not having his flight canceled. That's rare these days. But Jesse Bates in the house does suggest a more of what we have thought is that at some point he'll sign, he'll be in here. The man does not want to get hurt on the practice field, as we've seen a lot of players get hurt on the practice field across the league. And so this is a good sign, I think, that he is hanging out in the suite tonight.
Yeah, it's not an ideal situation, but it has never felt overly contentious. And it's always felt like this is going to be the way it plays out. And you hear Zach says it all the time. They speak in matters of when he shows up, not if. I think everybody respects the fact that he's not going to put himself at risk for injury and practice in camp. But this is not a stick it to you kind of thing with the team. It's about as friendly as a holdout could be. And yes, a good sign that he is here, and just another good sign in the way this thing is progressing.
The rare friendly holdout.
Yeah.
It's
just business.
It's just an understanding. They say it all the business. Time. And yeah, it is just business. The Bengals do a business from their side. Jesse Bates doing business from his side. And doing it here in the suite tonight. Good for him.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
I didn't stake out the suite. I could have. We discussed it.
We did.
Should we stake out the suite and wait to talk to him on the way out and just totally abandon anything else that has to do with the game and just dedicate? Maybe I should have. I don't know. Maybe I'll regret it later. But then I would have missed the Drew Plitt to Kendrick Pryor show, and you don't want to miss that.
Perfect Drew Plitt. A 158.3 passer rating in his hometown. He said he had a bunch of family and friends here. Really cool story for him. I know he's not making this team. He may not even make the practice squad. He probably doesn't make the practice squad. But he just signed here 2 weeks ago. He gets a chance to play in his hometown and comes in and leads a 94-yard touchdown drive and throws a 25-yard touchdown pass to undrafted rookie Kendrick Pryor. Huge moment for him, too. And then he had a one-handed catch that kind of extended that drive and set up that. It's just I wrote about him in our story on which ones we were most interested in seeing. I did think it was maybe telling that, I mean, Kwame Lassiter has been really good in OTAs and training camp, and it almost felt like they were trying to hide him. Like he didn't get a lot. They put him in the return game, but it's like they're not trying to have him put too much on film in the preseason, because if he doesn't make the team, you feel someone might pluck him on the practice off before you can put him on the practice squad. It was the Kendrick Pryor show tonight. 4 catches, 89 yards, and that highlight reel one-handed catch that they first called incomplete. Zach challenged and won the challenge, and great moment for Pryor. Great drive for Pryor and Plitt.
I was talking to Pryor in the locker room after the game. Shout out Bengals for having open locker rooms still. Yes. I want to continue to say that every time because a lot of teams do not right now. And as he's talking, his phone behind is just going ding, 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 ding. And it's cycling through. Every app is blowing up on his phone while he's talking. And I said, look, what do you got there? How many messages are you up to? And he showed 329. And we had to find out, now, are you a person who always keeps a couple hundred messages out there open on your phone? He said, no, the group chats are going crazy. All my people in my group chats. And, you know, Instagram was blowing up and his Twitter was showing up. And all of them, he had red dots all over his phone. I mean, I'm comfortable with that many red dots on my phone, but this was clearly, it was just, he was spiking, and a cool moment for an undrafted guy, you know, out of Wisconsin, making a little bit of a name for himself. Let's talk about some of the things that matter, and that is what did not go well tonight, and that was the depth. You know, again, we mentioned, and the starters didn't play. Almost all the projected starters did not play, except
Jackson Carman,
because he is in a battle for left guard. So the thought is, if you're the one guy who's supposed to be a starter who's out there with the backups, shouldn't you be the one that looks solid even if anybody else is screwing up? No, Jackson Carman was kind of a disaster tonight.
Yeah, he holding penalty in the red zone, missed picking up a stunt on the first drive that had quarterback running for his life. And he also got pushed back into Jake Browning on a drive, and Browning just had to spike the ball into the ground. It wasn't him alone by any means. There were a lot of penalties, a lot of missed assignments, a lot of just basic disasters on that offensive line. But yes, for a guy like Carman who's in a battle, that was not a good showing. And then it didn't help that the second half, Cordell Volson, the rookie fourth-round pick, comes in, looked really good.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really good. And I talked to Cordell after the game, and he said, yeah, that whole first half. He knew what the plan was, but he's just itching that whole first half. And he did get to get in on field goal block, so he got to get a couple snaps before he actually went in there. But that first play of the second half, he just blasted out onto the second level and got a block on a linebacker. You could tell he was ready to go, and he played that way the entire second half, blocking through the whistle. They ran behind him for the touchdown, the Jacquez Patrick 1 yard run. Just a really strong debut for Cordell Volson, and we've yet to see him take first team reps at practice. That might change this week.
Yeah, and what will change, I will be stunned if he's not playing at some point in the first half in New York. Yes. If there's not some more of a rotation to get him. Because, look, it is not fair. You know, he is going against lesser players in the second half. Arizona going deeper into their bench. Although I will point out a lot of Bengals offensive linemen were having trouble no matter who was out there on the Cardinals. I mean, but – so – you need to get a proper evaluation. See what he looks like next week against maybe some higher end interior defensive line talent or whatever it is. But definitely a really solid showing for him on a night where really no other offensive lineman had much of a good night that you can really speak of. And there was one point, you know, if they had to bump Akeem Adeniji out to left tackle. And it was a quick reminder to everyone that he is absolutely unequivocally not a left tackle. You know, he gave up a sack where he barely touched the guy. Then he had a hold on the next play. And then a pressure that flushed the quarterback on the next play after that, three in a row. And they finally were like, just get Prince back in there because we can't even run offense like this. And it's, you know, there's real questions that exist behind. We talk all you want to about Karras and Kappa and Collins and Jonah Williams. There's real questions about what the depth of this line is going to look like right now. Because if it's anything like what we saw tonight, it's the same crap you saw last year. And you're dealing with the same stuff. And you're, again, worried about how do you get Burrow through this season. You hope those first five stay healthy, certainly for all of the year. Because right now, I think they might find out. We'll see. I mean, you know, you never know what's going to happen in game two or game three. But depth issues are going to be a concern if anybody goes down, namely Ted Karras. I mean, Trey Hill ain't it, man. He wasn't it last year. He hasn't been it so far. And, you know, that's the most drastic, at least with Carmen. Yeah, he's looked bad. But, like, you know, at least you've seen him go out and he's played games before. He's been okay. I mean, and you'd have Orr Folsom, who maybe he's the guy who's a fourth round pick. They don't really have anybody. If nobody else plays center, really.
Yeah.
Lamont Gallier, Ben Brown. Like, yeah. I mean, maybe Ben Brown. I mean, undrafted dude. I don't know. I mean, I just think right now you're looking there and you're saying, I don't know who some of these backups are, and it might be something they need to address, whether it be via cuts, whether it be via trade. But certainly a little bit of concern has entered the equation as they go into games two and game three with the back end of the offensive line room. Also, you know who else took notice of that tonight, Jay?
Who?
Quentin Spain. Quentin Spain with the tweet of the year so far, who just in the middle of all of that mess just tweets out a picture of the Cincinnati skyline, essentially like, I'm here. You know, if you're looking for somebody, I'm here. As a little bit of reminder to everybody else. Let's flip it over and talk about the defensive side of the ball, where there was a lot of bad there too, as Arizona had, you know, put up a bunch of points, obviously. Mm-hmm. But Dax Hill, a really encouraging first night for him. He got a touchdown thrown on him on the first drive, where he kind of ended up trailing on a red zone play action play and got open in front of him. Tough play, could have made it, you know, whatever. After that, though, it was all good.
Yeah.
He had two really big-time plays. One looked like it could have been an absolutely incredible leaping interception in the end zone. He just couldn't quite hold on to it when he hit the ground. Then another one, Trace McSorley tries to just zip a ball up the seam to a receiver running open, and Dax Hill beat the receiver to the spot and damn near caught it, got broken up. Teammates giving him a hard time for not being able to catch either of those, thinking he should have maybe had a couple of picks in this game. But two great plays, instinctual plays, showed off his athleticism, all the stuff that kind of everybody had been talking about, and about how the way he had looked in camp, his speed and playmaking really showed up on the practice field, and it certainly showed up on the game field tonight.
Yeah, that second one reminded you of Jesse Bates, where he just the perfectly timed, got there, broke it up, and laid a little bit of a hit at the same time. And it shouldn't go unmentioned that he, like you said, the starters did not play. So he's out there with a bunch of guys that he is not repped with. He's been taking all the first team reps in practice. So he's out there kind of running the show in his first game, directing everybody around. I thought it was a really, really impressive performance, even though he didn't come down with either of those balls.
Another pretty good performance, I thought, you know, we saw from the rookie defensive lineman. Again, it's the same way. Dax Hill building on what has been a really nice camp for him. And then we have Zach Carter and Jeff Gunter building on what has really been really nice camps for them thus far. Now, it wasn't probably as big of a night as we saw from Dax Hill, but both had moments. You had a sack for Gunter and Carter with a similar type of play, chasing down an attempt on a QB draw as our neighbors here in the booth decide to shut all the windows right next to us. But you know, you saw a couple of really nice plays, and they looked like they belong. You know, they were getting pressure, they were getting moves, they were doing what they needed to do back there, and certainly looked the part. and played all game.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like, look, Zach Taylor said these guys need to play. They need to get conditioned to play a full game, and they're going to, and they did.
Gunter had the pass breakup, too, on a screen pass. I mean, they did. They didn't – it wasn't what we've come to see in practice where they – I don't want to say dominating, but just flash after flash after flash. But they did have their moments. They did look like they belonged in this game. And encouraging sign there, not just – the sack, the PBU they got, but they were putting pressure on the Arizona quarterbacks, and again, one more thing to be encouraged about with that D-line, all that young talent.
Notable, Joseph Osai, I think, took three snaps. They put him in there. You know, Zach Taylor said in the lead-up that they need to manage him, and so I guess there was some element of go through the routine of playing, since you haven't really done that a lot. Go through the routine of being out there for a couple of snaps. But then they just shut him down and let Carter and Gunter. It's kind of interesting. You would think they would at least give him a drive. But there's some kind of plan there with Osai as far as, you know, trying to protect him from himself, I guess, maybe a little bit. But that was it. A couple of snaps and they pulled him.
All right, let's just take a quick break.
Evan McPherson, I mean, the dude is ridiculous. It was the biggest cheers of the night, really, yeah, in the stadium.
Even before he made them. As soon as he came out to attempt the long ones, you could just feel the buzz build in the crowd.
Yeah, and a shout out to the DJ who on NFL Network this week, he had a discussion that went kind of viral where they talked about how kickers should have walkout music, and he said he would pick Without Me by Eminem for his walkout music, and sure enough, when he went to go out there, Without Me was playing on the speakers, and the crowd started going crazy, and he destroyed his first field goal from 58 right into the bottom of the net, and then from 56 up into the net.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like he just made from 58 and 56. I mean, he had plenty of space to spare. Would have been good from 65 at least, if not probably more than that, actually up into 70, I would think. It's very similar to what we saw on the Back Together Saturday scrimmage, which he said it kind of felt that same way too, with the adrenaline rush from the crowd cheering him on and all that.
I mean, you talk about how calm he is and just how he stays in the moment, keeps his breathing down, and he's making these huge kicks and these huge playoff games and game winning. It had to felt like practice out there. It's a preseason game. What do you got to lose? And he just lets it loose on the 58 and the 56. And, I mean, right down the middle on both. And just as crazy as it sounds, you just come to expect it when he goes out there. It seems like, what, maybe 5-6 years ago, anything over 50 yards would feel like a coin flip prop at best. And
or now, a punt.
Well, don't even try it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's. I think it's going to be another fun year watching that guy kick field goals.
Such a weapon. The last note here that I wanted to make sure we got to is Chris Evans. you know, Thad Moss did him no favors tonight.
No.
First play.
Yep.
First play from scrimmage, a really nice bounce outside, gets around the edge, and it looked like he was going to go to the house 75 yards. He ends up going 63 yards. But a holding penalty is called against Thad Moss on the play to bring it back. Then you have what should have been a touchdown run with another nice acceleration to the pylon around the corner. And Thad Moss again gets called for a hold. So instead, Chris Evans has 8 carries for -3 yards, a -0.4 average, when he should have had about 10 carries for about 77 yards and a touchdown. But I thought on those plays really showed a lot of some of the electricity he can bring to you as a runner. You know what he is as a receiver. I'll be interested to go back and look a little bit more at some of the tape and see how many reps he got in any kind of pass pro. I don't know how many there were. But overall, man, he just – I'm really curious to see where his role ends up being, because those are some plays that he looked like the best weapon on that was on the field tonight for the Bengals.
Yeah, and both those holding calls on Moss were legit holding calls. The first one, I'm not sure would have affected. I think he would have. I think Evans would have got the edge and had that long run anyhow. I do think the touchdown run may not have happened had Moss not taken the guy down. But it was interesting that the 65-yard one, he was heading up the middle. A blitzer came up the middle. The Bengals did pick it up, and he went ahead and bounced it because he saw that hole close. And that's kind of what they said after the preseason opener last year is you can't be jumping around like that. You got to just hit the hole and slam it up in there. And so it was just kind of ironic that the first touch this year in the preseason, the hole closes, he kicks it outside, and you see what he can do. I mean, it looked like he was going to take it the distance. He got caught, knocked out at the 10, but 65 yards, heck of a run.
Yeah, it was. Also had a 41-yard kickoff return, which was kind of an extension of what he did in the postseason last year, where he looked really good in the return game. Again, we've talked about that really feels like that's going to end up being his job. Yeah. Brandon Wilson's not going to be back from the ACL. Honestly, we don't really know where the roster spot on this team could possibly even be. They have they have too many safeties as is once Jesse Bates returns. So that kind of sums it up. I mean, it's kind of interesting that so much of the news of the night ends up happening not on the field. You know, there's going to be a lot to digest when they go back and look at the film, because there's a lot that went wrong defensively. You know, you had the turnovers with, you know, the snap exchange between Hill and Browning. I don't know whose fault that was.
Two sack fumbles
were just dudes are just running free, and Jake Browning, I think, will sleep all right. he was running for his life all night long.
Looked better tonight than he has in any practice so far.
Yeah.
I mean, he was making plays on the run with his feet, throwing pretty accurate balls. It was an impressive performance by him.
When it comes to the returner battle, Puka Williams has been eliminated. you know, you just can't. You can't.
You get that one shot at the end of the game and muff.
Yeah, and Arizona damn near recovered it. Look, you have to – if you're going to be Puka Williams or Kwame Lasseter as the punt returner, you have to, one, show some explosion at some point in one of these games. Break one at some point, and then create and build trust with all the other ones. One, it hits you right in the chest and goes to the ground on your first opportunity. Yeah. It's over. There's no coming back from that.
No.
Not in Darren Simmons' mind. When you only have a limited number of opportunities that you're going to get anyway, not with Trent Taylor being the known quantity that he is, and also Trent Taylor certainly looked nice out there at receiver tonight as well. And so, you know, that roster spot still sits there for him. Both punters didn't do super. If we're breaking that down, the net on both was bad. 26.7 net for Huber, 33 net for Chrisman. There were some long returns on Chrisman in particular. So I don't know how much we're judging from that when not a whole lot of it was all that great. But they kind of alternated the holding. Holding didn't seem to be an issue at all on any of the McPherson kicks. So that's good in that regard. That's about it.
Yeah.
I think that about wraps us up. Look at all the things we talked about from preseason game number one, Jay. So much to get to. Next game will be at the Giants in New York, and so we will have plenty as we go through this next week. And then after that, we'll lead up to joint practices for 2 days against the Rams. And again, anticipation is that we'll have Burrow back in the mix at that point. All right. I want to thank everybody for listening to Hear That Podcast Growl. Great to talk to you. We will be back early next week. Have a good one, everybody.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.